Over 30 years of advice for your house, home, castle, or cabin.
Y'all have things you want to get done.
It's Rosie on the House.
Broadcasting live from the conference room of renovations, Prescott area general contractor, Rosie on the House partner Tom Riley's with us. He'll be joining us here a little bit later in the broadcast. We've got special guest Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane as well. This is the energy month at Rosie on the House, talking about all the different power sources, and we're going to talk about propane's role and power sources as a power source in Arizona. But the reason that originally brought us up here this week was the Arizona Historic Preservation Conference, and we've been here. We missed Wednesday, too much to get done in the office to catch all 3 days of the conference. We caught the second and third day, and Jennifer and I both have our top three takeaways. You go ahead and cover yours. I'll save mine for the long segment after the news.
It was kind of fun because we took the program and divided up, you know, divide and conquer. And Romy picked his first, and then I picked mine, and they didn't even cross over, so it wasn't an issue. We each had kind of different interests. But I listened in on the keynote speaker, who was Donovan Ripkema, and he's a consultant out of D.C., and his company is Place Economics. And he goes all over the country trying to help get the historic downtowns redone. So that's kind of his specialty. So he's very inspiring. And he said, you know, if you get people to quit, not just look at it as a historic preservation, but as an economic
investment.
Yeah, it's really a much better way to go and get people interested to go to the bottom line. So he had a lot of good things to say. He said, what do people want? He said, most people want a heritage-based downtown. They like that. They like the downtown revitalization. And in the old, you know, in the past, if you were close to a downtown area, it was kind of, oh, I don't want to live there or be there because it's bad for my property value. And everything's kind of shifted. Now, if you can be close to downtown and somebody's revitalized areas, your property values are up. And then part of the discussion, of course, was Kimber Lanning. She was here. She's founder of Local First Arizona. Talked about, you know, she always likes to talk about how profitable it is to shop local, to be local, to have local businesses. And that the tie-in there was local businesses really, really prefer that downtown area with the historic buildings. So instead of just like a big box kind of area where you got all these big stores, same old, but just the culture it presents when you have that revitalization downtown. And of course, Prescott was a perfect place to have this conference because it's a great example. One of the things...
And it's a conference that's held annually and it's all over the state. Last year it was in Tucson, another city that's done a great job on a downtown revitalization. You think about all the different downtowns in Arizona. Right? You've got Chandler has done an incredible job with their Main Street downtown. Of course, Old Town, Scottsdale, huge tourist attraction. Prescott, Flagstaff. We've got a lot of great downtowns. Glendale, I just preference because I love Hoff's Murphy's. You know, brought on a big old mound of kraut and mustard.
Yeah, so it was really interesting conference because there was, you know, councilmen, mayors from all over the state, and attendees also. Just everybody kind of interested in this concept. How are we going to make it done? It's not necessarily the cheapest thing. And then they talked about on a residential level, so you know, part of the dynamic is the business is coming back. But also people like to live downtown. And with the next generation, they're moving in closer to town. They want more affordable places to live. So you have smaller places that are more affordable. They're close. They can walk. They don't have to have, you know, a car maybe even. Can save that expense. And the one of the big requirements is people want walkability. They want to be able to walk to work. They want to be able to walk to the store. And so if you go to walkscore.com, you can put in your town or your city or your downtown and find out how walkable it is. So I just played around with it for a while. Casa Grande was the worst score. The walkability is like a one.
I think, well, any farm
out of
town,
100, yeah.
Any farm town is not going to have a walking score.
Well, they, you know, but when you put down the downtown, you know, like Tucson was a 42 for their walkability, not great. Tempe was a 54, but they also have walkability. They have a score for transit, and they have one for biking. So I just kind of stuck to the walking, but guess who got the best score?
Well, before that, I'm going to say this walkability score is not something that was developed in the West because somebody back east who live in very dense towns and they've got states that, you know, you could fit six of them inside of Arizona. You know, our space in the West is so much bigger it's probably, if you took that same thing and applied it to square foot wide of the open space we have in the West, I bet those scores would change a lot.
Well, and you can specifically put in a neighborhood or a downtown. So I did put down in specifically downtowns. But Prescott got the highest rating by far as the 88 most walkable, a score of 88, which we were talking this morning. You know, you can count on the fact if you're going to go out for a walk, the lights are going to change when you ask them to. You know, you're not finding yourself standing there for 5 minutes wondering when the traffic's going to slow down and you can walk. So it really is a very walkable town. I ended my other favorite thing I liked was the end of the conference. I sat in with some councilmen and they talked about what does it take, you know, if you're interested as a citizen, you know, what does it take to get this to happen? So you need activism, you need volunteers, and I came up with this awesome list. Yeah. If you're interested.
Yeah, go ahead. Something else to that walkability. I bet they didn't have elevation factored into that as well either. Walking around through the conferences yesterday, there were people that would come up from the square just up to Hacienda, that little thing. You could tell they were not used to 5,000 feet elevation.
I was that way the first day for sure. But I have this wonderful document I will publish on our website, and it's about shaping the public policy. And it's just link after link after link if you're interested in trying to figure out where to get started to try to help with your community. So it was a very, very worthwhile conference.
So, well, it was a lot of fun, and we are in Prescott, and we brought Dave Barrett in. We've talked about the nuclear power plants. We've talked about the hydroelectric. We've talked about coal. Propane plays a part in our power source here in Arizona.
Propane plays a big part of our power source here in Arizona because we have so much rural area here where you can't get natural gas, in some case electricity.
And you've been doing propane. You're fairly new at this.
25 years. Yeah, which is fairly new. I was in my mid-30s when I got into it, so yeah, I'm fairly new.
And y'all have, then that's here locally in Prescott, sold the business, had a non-compete. When that non-compete expired, opened up a propane company the next day, Barrett Propane. I know anyone in Prescott knows it, and y'all have the most beautiful propane trucks, always with a call to community outreach. The one that was parked at y'all's shop when I came through Thursday was your Veterans Support Our Troops one that was just beautiful. Looks like that paint wasn't even dry on it, it looked like.
And that one's pretty old truck, but yeah, we have a pink truck, the veterans truck. The pink, of course, is for breast cancer. We've got a green truck themed with frogs and leaves, and that's just a clean air kind of truck because it runs on propane, and propane is a clean burning energy. And we have a new yellow truck, which isn't themed, but it's more of the clean, fun kind of a theme. And actually, I have another pink truck on order, so we'll have two pink trucks running around Prescott.
And y'all run these trucks around to customers that have tanks?
Yes, customers generally in the rural areas heat their homes with propane. So they'll have a big propane tank outside to run their furnace, their stove, their water heater, their dryer, fireplace, outdoor appliances like grills and stuff. Yeah, propane's really a big commodity here in the rural areas of Arizona.
You know, we've been putting together this concept of a perfect house, and I added another factor to that, and that was appliances that are gas or electric powered, because you can put in a propane air conditioner refrigerator.
You can, and you know, I wouldn't say a lot of people have them, but there are a number of people off the grid who have propane powered refrigerators, and they're about 3,000 BTU units, and they work well, and they've been around for a long time.
So you could really run your entire property off of propane. We think of it as a heat source, but you can use it as a cooling source.
You could use it as a cooling source, but you can also, with a propane power generator, if you're off the electric grid, you can run your lights and everything with propane.
Now, somebody like Rosie that does his weed control with a torch, could you hook up like a big 300-yard tube and walk around your property if you're straight off your tank and torch your weeds?
I wouldn't suggest that. But, you know, in the agriculture uses, you know, there's a lot of agriculture in Arizona as well as all over the country, of course, and they have big propane weed burners that you pull behind your tractor. And these things are 12 or 15 feet wide and have flames shooting out the bottom, and you can control them to just get in between where you want to burn the weeds or the whole thing, and They're really popular in farmland.
Completely organic.
And completely organic and clean. You know, propane is considered to be not a greenhouse gas before combustion. So if you release propane into the atmosphere, it doesn't hurt water, it doesn't hurt your soil, it doesn't hurt people, of course, unless you're completely engulfed in it. So propane is not a greenhouse gas. And after combustion, although it is a greenhouse gas, it's up to 70% less pollutant than gasoline or diesel.
Wow. And you were talking about those ag trucks. Those are fun to watch at night.
Yeah, the brochures selling those things are really cool because they do it right at sunset when it's getting dark and you have all these flames shooting out of the bottom of this thing in the cornfield.
And then you can watch if any embers travel off as well.
You can, yes.
But usually they incinerate even the embers.
They burn oh, yeah, so they, hot. They get rid of everything. Yeah, they're pretty cool to see.
Now, how many customers are on propane? That's probably a hard number to put on, but
that's a hard number to put on because in Arizona, I have no idea. I know in Yavapai County, I've guessed there are probably between 10 and 15,000 customers who heat their homes with propane. So, you know, that's maybe, what is that, 10% of the population? Okay. We're up to 150,000 people in Yavapai County. Higher? 200?
So maybe 20,000.
Maybe. Yeah.
And like you said, it's a great source for a rural location because when you find an undeveloped lot and if you're looking to move into a rural area, that's the first thing you got to research is, okay, how close is the closest power line? Because the power company will only do so many feet up right to your property for free, and then it comes out of pocket to the customer. And those feet add up pretty quick.
And that's, yeah, and natural gas too. Natural gas won't go outside of the developed areas for the most part because they want density. They don't want to run a gas line to somebody every two or three acre parcels. They want downtown Prescott where it's house to house to house to house to house. And I don't blame them. But up here in this area, natural gas is in all the cities, Chino Valley, Prescott, and we take care of everybody outside of those boundaries.
And we're talking with Dave Barrett of Barrett Propane as a propane energy source to Arizona customers and homeowners and the option you have if you're looking for a rural community and the role propane could play for you. We do have both power and a propane. That's how we heat our home is a propane tank. And it's nice having that option of the gas and the electric and being able to switch between them. But I will tell you one thing. If car buying is on your to-do this week, Dad, you like being back in your Raptor?
Yeah, it was really hard to get that back away from Mom.
She said she was going to have a hard time getting it back. And you had a little road trip yourself recently. You got to go enjoy a little bit of...
Ran it up to Denver. Yeah, you know, I actually went on Sanderson's lot to end up with a GT convertible Mustang and left with the Raptor. And I'm just having a blast with it. That's a great truck.
Well, whatever you walk on to Sanderson Ford for, and no matter what you leave with, you know you'll be treated fair by good, honest people. But you've got to do it today if it's on your to-do this weekend. They're never open on Sunday. 51st Avenue, south of Glendale, Maryland. Sanderson Ford, if you're looking for a vehicle, it should be a Ford. And if you're looking for a Ford, Sanderson Ford. Open today. The lot is open now. They open about 8 o'clock, and they'll stay open as long as they need to service their customers.